as I am changing. Every single move you're making since I've analyzed predictions far beyond the comprehension. I've been tortured with the writhing thoughts that stop a star from shining. Kill me now before I'm sober, so I die before it's over.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I will be recapping Fastlane that happened this past Saturday on WWE Network on Peacock. And it was another banger of a show under the Triple H creative era. And you know, as you saw from my predictions, it was only 5 matches scheduled for the show. And as I predicted they would be, each match was given plenty of time to tell the stories that they needed to tell. Every match, minimum 10 minutes, and I love that because I'm good with fewer matches if they are longer and can tell a story and can keep me entertained from bell to bell, and that is exactly what I got from Fastlane. And we kicked it off with the WWE Tag Team Championships, Judgment Day defending against Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso, and this was a great way to kick it off, and it was this is one of the matches that I'm glad, actually quite a few matches that I'm glad that I got my predictions incorrect, because I had predicted that Judgment Day was going to retain and they did not. It was Cody and Jey coming out on top as the new undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, and even after interference from the rest of Judgment Day, which was Rhea Ripley, Dominic Mysterio, and the unofficial Judgment Day member JD McDonagh. And a lot of great, great moments and spots throughout this match, especially like one where it was a 1D with the Cody cutter coming off the middle rope and catching him in like a 1D kind of motion, which could have been the end of the match, but then Cody got him with the crossroads to get the 1-2-3. And yeah, we have a new tag team champions. And if you saw the post-show press conference, that was very, very entertaining to say the least with Cody and Jey Uso, and I highly recommend you guys check that out if you haven't already. It was fun. I'll just leave it at that. And then we come to the second match, was the 6-man tag match, Bobby Lashley and Street Profits against the LWO. And going into this, we did not know who the third man was going to be, which sounds very familiar from, if you remember, from the WCW days. And but anyways, that's another show for another time. But we got our answer about halfway through the match, a little more than halfway, when we got the official return of Carlito, who we have not seen since Backlash during the street fight with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. Now, whether or not he's officially a member of the LWO, we shall find out on SmackDown this week. Or if you're checking this out after SmackDown is aired, probably already have the answer. But I'm happy to see him back. This was several months in the making and waiting for him to finally come back, because we were hearing stories and rumors and reports that he was coming back immediately after Backlash and all the hype and buzz that he got from that show. And he is now officially back with WWE on the SmackDown brand, and we will see where his story goes from here, because I don't think LWO and Lashley and Street Profits are done just yet, so we might get a few more outings from both teams in the coming weeks, especially as we head towards Crown Jewel in November, and then Survivor Series as well. And so we are likely to see some more action between these teams by then, and maybe we'll see Carlito going for the U.S. title at some point, because he's a good babyface, but he's a much better heel in my opinion. So I'm expecting something to happen between him and Rey for the U.S. title, but we shall see how that goes. And and we also got to see a nice little appearance from Jade Cargill during the kickoff show, making a quick appearance. We also got to see her on NXT this week, because I think they're just building her up more and more, getting the buzz, getting the mainstream WWE audience familiar with her, who might not have known who she was from AEW. So, as Triple H said during the post-show press conference, that she, when she is ready, she will be ready for the big show, Raw or SmackDown, wherever she may be, although it is more likely she'll be on Raw, because she's been kind of tweeting about that, or, I mean, what would you call it, because it's not Twitter anymore, it's X. Would you call it Xing? I don't know. But yeah, LWO and Carlito came on top on that match, and then we come to the Triple Threat Women's Championship match, Io Sky defending against Asuka and Charlotte Flair, and this was another match that I'm happy to have gotten wrong in my prediction, with Io Sky retaining, and I'm glad she is retained, because too often, with these multi-women matches involving Charlotte Flair especially, she, 9 times out of 10, she'll be the one that wins the match, and I'm glad she did not win it this time. As much as I love Charlotte Flair, she is my favorite woman in WWE. I'm happy that Io Sky has retained, and I don't think they'll let her keep it all the way to WrestleMania, but I know Kairi Sane is expected to be making a return soon, and I was saying to my brother-in-law that if they can keep the story going strong over the next few months, that I would love to see Io Sky versus Asuka and Kairi Sane in a triple threat at WrestleMania, because I feel like that would be a show stealer to, of all show stealers with women's matches at WrestleMania, because the three of them, they have their history and chemistry from Japan, they know each other better than pretty much anybody, and they would be able to pull off one of the most, no pun intended, insane matches in WWE history, especially for the women. But Io Sky retains after a very great, hard-hitting, entertaining, fast-paced match. And I mean, there was a little moment at the end that I thought it was going to go my prediction of Charlotte Flair winning, when Bayley came out and to assist Io, get the distraction on the referee, and Io Sky was able to nail the moonsault on Charlotte Flair, who had the figure eight on Asuka, and she got the 1-2-3 to retain. So they're going to continue the reign of Io Sky. And also from the press conference, whoever that reporter, journalist, whatever they are, who asked the stupid Taylor Swift question to Io Sky, what, you know, like Io said, are you crazy? Like, really, like, of all the questions to ask, you ask, would she fight Taylor Swift at WrestleMania? What the fuck kind of question is that? Seriously. Whatever. Anyways, moving on, we come to the other tag match, and this was a show of full of multi-man matches, multi-people matches, and I'm okay with that. Especially because each match had meaning behind it, had a story behind it, and all told great stories. It was the Bloodline, which was of Jimmy Uso and Solo Sokoa, taking on the team of John Cena and L.A. Knight. Yeah. And another fun and entertaining match that told a very good story, because throughout this match, it was the Bloodline isolating Cena, keeping him away from tagging L.A. Knight into the match until the final minutes of this match. And I like that they kept it consistent, like, because a lot of times they'll have the back and forth tags in and out of the match, but this one, it was pretty consistent, where, you know, because it was, the match was, you know, from bell to bell was 17 minutes 20 seconds according to what I see right here, and for at least 10 of those minutes was them keeping Cena from tagging LA Knight into the match, until we finally got LA Knight in there, got the huge pop from the crowd, and he's just whooping ass left and right, and LA Knight and John Cena coming out on top in this one as well, which will be interesting to see where the story goes for the Bloodline on SmackDown this week, or if you're watching this on Friday, because I'm going to be uploading this Friday, will be tonight on SmackDown, and yeah, it will be interesting to see what the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns has to say about his Bloodline coming out on the losing end of this fight with John Cena and LA Knight. Did not mean for that to rhyme, but there he goes. And also at the end of the match, we had the nice little show of respect between Knight and Cena. That, you know, I like when we get to see those kind of moments. Another thing I actually kind of forgot from the six-man tag with the LWO and all that I've noticed in the last few pay-per-views, premium live events, whatever you prefer to call them, the matches that feature Rey Mysterio, they have a sponsorship attached to them, I've noticed, because WrestleMania was sponsored by, his match with Dominic was sponsored by Sentimental Scrunch, the Battle Royal at SummerSlam, I believe he was part of that one as well, that was sponsored by Slim Jim, his match at, with Austin Theory at Payback was had a sponsorship attached to it as well, and then this match here was had a pizza sponsorship, and I'm just wondering if it's because it's that maybe it's like a thing from Endeavor that Rey Mysterio specifically has these sponsorships attached to him, because I know he has his endorsements outside of WWE, and I'm wondering if they're just bringing those in to the product now, which I'm okay with that. I think it's pretty cool, actually, you know, because I was actually watching one of the old Halloween Havocs from WCW and seeing that they had the Slim Jim banners on the ring canvas, and I'm just wondering if they're going to start doing that kind of stuff going forward also, because they have it on the LED screens all over the place, and just wondering if they would actually go the full length of, you know, of actually having it on the ring canvas during the shows, which I would be more than okay with. It's kind of cool, you know, I mean, boxing does it, so why not WWE, you know, and UFC does it too. I mean, and Endeavor owns UFC and WWE, so it doesn't surprise me that they would want to go that route. And any fans that are complaining about it, sponsorships have been part of wrestling for decades. So, but anyways, yeah, Cena and LA Knight on top for this match. And then we come to the main event, last man standing, Shinsuke Nakamura against the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth freaking Rollins, a match that went almost 30 minutes. And it did not feel like 30 minutes, which is a good thing, because when you feel the length of a match, or, you know, looking at movies, when you feel the runtime of a movie, that's not always a good thing. But if the story pulls you in and it sucks you in, and that runtime just sweeps right past you, the time will go by like nothing. Perfect example, when I saw when the Snyder Cut was released of Justice League, 4 hours, those 4 hours just went by like nothing. 4.5 hour extended version of Lord of the Rings Return of the King went by like nothing for me. And then the 2 hour version of Justice League from 2017, that those 2 hours feel like 4 hours. But the 4 hour Snyder Cut felt like 2 hours. But that's just me. But anyways, this match, another great match, told a great story of Shinsuke working on Rollins' back throughout, continuing that story of Rollins' back that he's been working with, that has been hurt and damaged and beaten for so many years now, and just that old school approach of just targeting a body part and working it and working it and working it, telling the great dramatic story with that. And Shinsuke having a cool moment with where he spit out some red mist on Rollins when they were on top of a ladder above the announce table, and a couple of other table spots that where Shinsuke just got a perfectly snapped in the middle of the table with Rollins, you know, like perfect, like straight down the middle of the table, you know, which you only see, usually only see that in the games or on the toys, but it was pretty funny seeing it in real life, a perfect split right down the middle. And this was one that I'm not upset that I didn't get the result I wanted, even though I really, really wanted Shinsuke to win it. I'm okay with Rollins. He has retained his championship, because now he's moving on to a story with Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel, and we'll see how that story goes, because not sure if Drew is going to still play the babyface going into it, or play the heel, because I did not watch Raw this week, I was working, so I don't know the full story behind why the match is happening, and I'll just find out about it in the coming weeks as we head towards Crown Jewel. But this is another great match, a lot of great spots, a lot of great moments that Shinsuke was able to shine in the main event spotlight that he truly deserves, and I'm glad that he was able to get that shine. And where they go with him going forward after this, I would like to believe and hope that they would continue a main event push of some sort for him, even if it's not for the world title. I would like for him to still be included in the main event conversation, because he is deserving of that, and even at his age, he is, let me see, how old is he? He is 43. Alright, actually, that's actually a lot younger than I thought he would be, because I believe AJ Styles is older than him. Let me look that up. AJ Styles. Where are you? There we go. Yeah, AJ Styles. How old? AJ Styles is 46 years old. So, yeah, and he's still going better than almost anybody in the WWE. So, it would be fun to see what they do with some of these men and women who are much older than a lot of us realize, and I'm okay with that, because if they can go, then they can go. I don't want, if it's it, until it reaches the point of a Ric Flair who fell asleep twice during his last match from Nashville last year, you know. But yeah, Fastlane was a fun and entertaining show, and what is to come for Crown Jewel, other than the World Championship match of Rollins and McIntyre, and then whatever we're going to see from the War Games match at Survivor Series, which I'm thinking it's going to be a match with a Judgment Day teaming up with maybe Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa against the team of Cody, KO, Sammy, Jey Uso, and maybe, if you want to believe the rumors, returning CM Punk, or possibly a returning Randy Orton, since he has been spotted training at the PC, and he's been gone for a little more than a year, and he does have his history with the Bloodline, so that would be a perfect story to, for him to come back in. But we will see how that goes. And until then, that's my review, or recap, of WWE Fastlane 2023. I hope you all enjoyed hearing me for the last 16 minutes rambling on about that show. And make sure you like, share, subscribe, you know, all that fun stuff. And, you know, give me a star ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And, if you're not subscribed to here, you can do so. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Castbox, Google Podcasts, all the links in the link tree. You'll just go down there, check it, click it, and find out where you can find me. Also, you can support me on my store, purchasing some of the fun designs that I have on there. I'm thinking up some new ones that I'm going to try to put up soon. I have one in particular that I just need to put pen to paper to create the actual design and then work on it to upload on there. But yeah, check out my review for the Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves that just went up yesterday, even though I just recorded it 15 minutes ago or 17 minutes ago. And that will be up yesterday, because this goes up Friday, that goes up Thursday, and also my trailer reaction to The Iron Claw, which will be up before any of those, really, because I'm going to be uploading that as soon as I'm done editing everything right here. And then make sure you turn in this Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for my live show that I'll be doing with singer, songwriter, musician Alison Crow, who people on my little Snyder fandom know her very, very well. As she was the, she has the unique honor of having the closing credit song for Zack Snyder's Justice League, and then the opening credit song for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, released, you know, a month apart from each other in 2021. So for sure that'll be something that I might bring up. And any questions that anyone might have that you would like for me to ask her, feel free to share them, either on the community post that I have on the YouTube channel, on the video comments of the YouTube for this episode, or anything else. And or you can send me something on email. I have my Menatites Podcast email as well, if you would like to reach out to me there. My Facebook page, Menatites Podcast Facebook page. Yeah. All those links will be in the description for this. Check them out. And make sure you like the Facebook page as well. And yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly and genuinely do. Hope you all are doing well, staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, and my friends out there in the Middle East, especially in Israel, who are unfortunately stuck in that conflict over there. Hope you all are safe. I'm praying for all of you. I really am. And yeah, this has been the Menatites Podcast. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.